shall have no other gods before me. Therefore we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
O holy God, what have I feared more than you? What have I loved more than you? What have I trusted more than you? You know my sins, for all things lie naked and bare before your eyes, and the secret idolatries of my heart are not hidden from you. O Lord, deliver me, for I have done evil through my own fault. I have risked the loss of heaven and earned pains of hell, and above all,
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
From the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
Ascribe to the Lord all heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf.
And Syria like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord
flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. And strips the forest bare.
And in his temple all cry, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people with peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning. Is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The second reading is from the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh will also dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ. That he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the God of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory of the equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord,
so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages.
And he is man, born from the substance of his Father in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the first reading, Isaiah, relates how he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, and this was the result. I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." This is our text. It happened in the year King Uzziah died. That was around 739 BC. The year that King Uzziah died might not mean much to you, but it meant something to Isaiah the prophet. They'd had 52 years of peace and prosperity under King Uzziah. He'd been an effective administrator. He was a good military leader. So his death meant political uncertainty. It meant social instability. And at the same time that Uzziah died, the greatest foreign threat, the kingdom of Assyria, was flexing more and more muscle in the north. You could hear the worry in people's voices. You could see the tension in their faces. The king, the one in whom they hoped and trusted, the king who had ruled them for 52 years, the king was dead. Now what? Trust not in rulers. They are but mortal. Earthborn they are and soon decay. Earthly rulers come and go. It's true. And yet it feels like a really big deal to those under their rule. For our part, we make much of the presidency, and though it's not 52 years, only every 4 years, it's a big deal. But acting like the next election is the end of the world is making way too much of it. Christ's coming again. Not the 2024 election is the end of the world. Until then, don't let the news and the anxiety own you. Live the life God has given you. Live the life that God has given you in the place where he has put you. Like you, Isaiah was in church. Amid that turmoil, that instability, Isaiah was in church. He went to the temple because he was a priest. He had a job to do in the sanctuary. He might have been thinking about the kingship, thinking about that turmoil as he went through his routines of work. That day, he saw more than he ever expected. That day, his heart and mind and thoughts were turned from the concerns of this life to something far greater. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne." I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. One moment Isaiah was participating in the regular temple liturgy, "Blessed are you, O Lord," and the next moment the veil was pulled back. It's as if you hear the liturgist say, "Glory to God on high," and suddenly you see the fullness of that glory. Time stood still. The walls exploded outward. He was staring into the Holy of Holies. Where the Ark of the Covenant should be, that most holy temple furnishing, he saw an exalted throne. And on the throne, not Uzziah, not Ahaz, not Jotham, not a king of Assyria or an Egyptian pharaoh, not a United States president. On the heavenly throne, he saw the Lord God. The Lord God alone, the true king and ultimate ruler. And Isaiah would never forget what he had seen. It was emblazoned on his eyes and mind. He falls prostrate on the threshold of the temple. Can you imagine the terror that he had, seeing what no man dares to see? seeing God himself, sticking his head into the glory cloud, God's Shekinah presence, trying to comprehend the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Just boom! What exactly does God look like seated there on the throne? Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. Words fail. It's too personal, too awesome, too all-encompassing to report. And when we press Isaiah to tell us more, when we say, just give us a glimpse, he simply tells us how immense God's robe is. Even the hem of God's glory is more than we can handle. But he does see more. He becomes conscious of other creatures, other beings around the throne. Above the Lord stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." He saw the seraphim standing guard around God's throne, those fiery angels. And in response to his holiness, they're all wings and all voice, perfectly ready for praise and service. If only we were ready to praise and serve God like that. And notice their humility. Even they hesitate to look directly into the face of God because they cover their faces. And they modestly hide their bodies with their wings. They know what is sacred and they know what is holy. And it fills them with praise. Do we know what is sacred and what is holy? We live in a day and age, it seems, when nothing is sacred or holy any longer. Why we human beings are so bold that we don't even blink at seeing things that are shameful or at revealing our bodies to the eyes of the world. For Isaiah, it's sensory overload. He sees the glorious throne. He hears the majestic singing, "Holy, holy, holy," echoing between the seraphim as they delight together in the glory of God. He feels the quake as he lies on the threshold, for the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who calls, and the house was filled with smoke. He smells the incense, which hovers like a cloud around him. For a moment, Isaiah has forgotten himself. For a moment, it's just the fullness of this God and the glory that surrounds him. He has seen the holy, holy, holy one of Israel, the thrice holy. You can't express it any better than that. God's presence fills the heavens and the earth. Who's really ruling? Who is on the throne? Who will reign as king? There's no question. The Lord alone rules heaven and earth. And that's when Isaiah becomes suddenly, brutally aware of himself. It's like that moment you forget where you are and what you're doing, and you're not even thinking about yourself, and suddenly you come back to reality and you recognize who you are and where you are. The majesty and the holiness of God reveals just how unholy and unclean he is. There's nothing like being in the presence of God to help us know and see ourselves rightly. Isaiah comes face to face with the truth about himself. He doesn't call down woe on others. He doesn't speak about how terrible everyone else is. He looks at himself and says, "Woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It's not the greatness of God and his smallness that crushes Isaiah. It's the holiness of God and the uncleanness of his life and the uncleanness of his people and the fact that he has seen the King. In the brightness of God's glory, his own filth has become that much more obvious. What exactly does Isaiah confess? He confesses an uncleanness of the lips. He confesses that his lips do not belong to God. They are not owned by God. They don't continually pour forth praise like the seraphim. And in that way, his lips are simply an expression of his life. If the lips don't belong to God, then the heart doesn't belong to God either. Nor does the will belong to him. Because whatever God possesses is clean like he is, but that which sin possesses is unclean. Sin stands condemned in the presence of God. What is the uncleanness of our lips? What have we said? Or not only said, but what have we messaged, texted, and emailed? Have we let our emotions rule over us? Have we let our feelings be the king? Have we enthroned them rather than the Lord in our hearts? Have we mocked others or been sarcastic and rude? Have we tried to exalt or defend or justify ourselves with our words? You know it, I'm sure, from experience. Some of the greatest damage that we can do to our relationships is through our words. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, children to parents, between sisters and brothers and friends and neighbors and co-workers. Unclean lips. If you have a relationship that is strained, then consider first what your lips have done. Woe is me. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with tongs from the altar. That must have been a terrifying moment. The smoke clears, and Isaiah sees this servant of God. He's so hopeless, he doesn't even plead for mercy. He doesn't make a great vow to God. He probably just curls up in the fetal position. And this servant of God has taken something from the altar, a holy fire. And he flies straight at you, nearer and nearer. He presses it to your lips. Does it burn? But he says, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for." The holy, holy, holy God and the unclean Isaiah with lips that need to be cleansed. But Isaiah is not consumed, and neither are you. God doesn't reveal himself to destroy us, but to redeem and rule us. Our lives, our hearts, and our lips. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I am here today to announce that same thing to you. Coming from the altar of Christ's cross to the altar here in our church, the gift that takes your guilt away, the gift, his sacrifice, that has atoned for your sin, the one who died but lives again, the Holy One, not to consume or condemn you, but to forgive you. Here is the grace of God for sinners. Here is more than the purification of our lips. Here is the purification of our lives. And yes, forgiveness can be a wrenching, searing experience, a freeing experience, especially when God takes away the iniquity and sin in which we've lived for years. Today is the day, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Today is the day to turn from your sin and to receive that forgiveness and to start anew with your lips. For if Isaiah, if we are ever to serve God with clean lips, then he is the one who must cleanse us. He is the one who must purify us by the fire of his own love. Isaiah, your sins are forgiven. Isaiah, you have fellowship with the holy God. Isaiah, you are clean. What was it about the burning coal that dealt with the condition of Isaiah's heart? What is it about the bread and wine that touches our lips and does the same for us? It's not just the coal. It's not just the bread and the wine that does it, but the words themselves. Behold, your sin is forgiven. Your guilt is atoned for, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It is these words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, that are the main thing in the sacrament. So here we come today. Here we bow our knee. Here we repent of our lips and our arrogance and our pride and our mistrust and our anxiety. Here we veil our faces and we cover our bodies and we sing with the seraphim, "Holy, holy, holy." And here the holy fire of Christ's holy body and holy blood, the Holy One of Israel, cleanses us of our sin and makes us holy. And we hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Why not you? Cleansed, forgiven, with nothing to hide, having seen the Lord. "Behold, O Lord, here I am. Send me," says Isaiah. We may not be much, but we offer ourselves. Make us your servants, O Lord. Use us, O King, in your kingdom. Take our lips and make them yours, that they would sing your praise. Let the vision of you that we've had here today make an impression on us and leave its mark. For you, dear brother, dear sister, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous, marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy from the holy, holy, holy God himself. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the growth of our understanding of the depths of God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge through his word, that we may glorify him forever, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for Matthew, our Synod President, Robert, our District President, Paul, our Circuit Visitor, and our pastors, and for John, the newly elected Seminary President, that the Lord would forgive their sins, put his truth in their mouths, and like the prophet Isaiah, lead them to respond to the Lord's call by saying, "Here I am, send me." Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith that believes Christ was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God to be our Savior, and that our hearts may be glad, our tongues rejoice, and our flesh dwell in hope, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who rule us, that the Lord enthroned as King forever would bless them with wisdom and understanding, that truth and justice may prevail in our land, and lawlessness may be kept at bay, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That with thankfulness we might recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to our country's peace and security, and served faithfully until death, in the protection of our freedom and in the defense of our land, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our high school graduates, Cadence, Matthew, Benjamin, Josiah, Eli, and John, that the Holy Spirit would continue to guide them in the truth, which is Jesus, and that the Lord would bless them in their ventures, help them to do the work set before them with diligence and joy in service of others, and provide them with good friends and godly relationships, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For expectant mothers, especially Jillian and baby Penny, Carly, Marta, and Liz, that they may safely come to the time of birth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Eric, Joan, and the Niehaus family, Eldon, Janet, Verity, AJ, Beth, Blair, Bobby and Carol, Charlie, Graham and Wendy, Karen, Kristen, Marie, Mark, Mona, Rick and Teresa, Ron and Mayu, and all who suffer, that the Lord of hosts would uphold them so they cannot be shaken, and that he would make their flesh dwell in hope, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, especially Pat, Marilyn, Jenny, and their family and friends, that in their times of sorrow, they would not lose hope, but rely on God's promise that he will never leave them or forsake them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that by Christ's cleansing body and blood on our lips, our guilt may be taken away and our sin atoned for, and that we would not be lost but abide in his holy presence forever, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our reading today is from Romans, selected chapters. Do you not know all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom of the knowledge of God, how inscrutable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of God, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with another, in according with Christ Jesus, that together you may be one voice. Glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and